Oh my, Dwight. Dwight. Anybody work next to or with a Dwight? Don't raise your hand. That's not cool. Come on, that was a trick question. Don't say that. Especially me, right? I work with it. Anyways. Hey, this morning as we jump in, let's do me a favor. Talk to a couple of people around you and just extend them a nice traditional Texas greeting. Say, howdy, neighbor. Okay, and if you could use an accent, even better. Ready? Do that. Just a couple of people around you, just say, howdy, neighbor. Howdy. Yeah. Uh-huh. Howdy, neighbor. Yeah, why not, right? Howdy, neighbor. We've been talking about loving your neighbor as yourself, so what a great way to start with a good old howdy, neighbor. Last week, Dave kicked us off in this new series we've been calling Engage, How to Love Your Neighbor, and he talked to us about this really big idea of what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. It's really central to our faith, and in these short passages, we just discover some really amazing ways in which we're supposed to live our lives as believers. And if you missed it, I encourage you to go watch that online and get caught up, but for this morning, I'm going to give you a recap because it's really important for our next step that we're going to take. But essentially, Dave shared three things that we have to remember about loving your neighbor, and it's this. First one is this: love your neighbor is something we do. It's not just something we simply believe, not just a really cool bumper sticker. It's not our mantra or whatever. It's something that we do. The second thing is this: loving your neighbor, your neighbors are actually those that God puts in your path. Right? The ones that God puts in your path. And for us, in our society, our culture, our context today, that's where we live, where we work, and where we play. Right? Those are the paths that we find ourselves on day in and day out. And then the third thing is this. A neighbor, by definition, really is someone who extends mercy to someone else. Who extends mercy to someone else. That's this idea of extending compassion, extending a benevolent benevolent spirit, thank you, towards somebody else. Yeah, and that kind of catches us up. But for today, in our next step, I want to talk to you about how. What are some tangible ways in which we can love our neighbors? Because remember, this is more than a pithy statement. This is what we do. This is who we are. So last year, I had this really cool privilege of going back to the place where I was first in youth ministry in Houston to do a wedding to a kid who was in my junior high and high school youth group. It was really, really cool. He's a guy named Leland, just a great kid. But when he was a junior in high school, he lost his dad to cancer. And consequently, we did life deeply together for a long time, and we became really close, and we still connect several times a year. And so he calls me out to the old neighborhood and he says, hey, will you come do this? Will you perform my wedding? I'm like, yes. And it literally is right across the street from the Friends Church that we served at so long ago. About 15 years ago, we were there. And it was great. I wish I could take more time to describe it to you, but I just want to say, like, the lights, the music, the tables, the food, the old friends, it was magical. It really was. It was magical. However, it was Houston in the summer, so it was 90 degrees at 9 o'clock at night, y'all, okay? Now, that's not a big problem for those of you that don't sweat, okay? But if you sweat, like this guy, it's a problem, okay? And my wife, she loves to dance, especially at weddings, and so we have this thing. I love her. One of the ways I express my love to her is that I dance with her for at least three songs, okay? I have a three-song minimum. It's what I owe her, and that's what I do. So as you can imagine, by the third song, I'm drenched in sweat. I'm tired. I have these three big water bottles. I carry them over to the table, and I'm just drinking these water bottles. I'm just going through them like water, and anyways, you know, whatever it is, right? And I'm drinking it, and I'm watching this beautiful, I feel like this beautiful scene just unfold, right? You know, Jennifer's out there, she's dancing with her sisters, I see old friends that I haven't seen in forever, just so much life. And just then, Cindy comes, and she sits down next to me. She's a woman from the church in Houston where I used to serve at. And she scooches up next to me, and she looks me right in the eye, and she asks me this question. She says, Jason, are you still a pastor? Now, this is a little confusing to me, because I just performed the ceremony less than an hour ago. And so I know that this question is loaded with something. And so I say, yes, Yes, I am. And she says this to me. She says, listen, I've been watching you tonight. I've been watching you tonight, and I just don't understand. I just don't understand how you can listen to this music, hang out with these people, and be out on the dance floor like everybody else. Summing up, she just ended by saying this. How can you say that you're a pastor? How can you say that you're a Christian and do all these things? Dun, dun, dun. Wow. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep that story in the back of your mind as I talk today. I want you to keep that question in the back of your mind. How can you be a Christian and yet hang out with these types of people? I want you to ask yourself, how would you have responded if somebody said that to you? I want you to ask yourself, just in your mind's eye, just check yourself for any judgments that you have about the people in the story I just told. Do you have any judgments about Cindy? About me? About the people that I was hanging out with? It's really important because this whole idea of loving your neighbor, it means, and being good news to the people we live, work, and play with, it means we have to go out and get close to people. We can't do it at a distance. It requires proximity. It requires relationship. And because of this, it creates a significant tension. Because the Bible's clear on a lot of things, and there's definitely this theme in the Bible that says this, you need to be holy as God is holy. God is calling you out of the world. He wants you to act a certain way. He wants you to live a certain life. These are the heart attitudes somebody who loves God does, your devotion to God. But here's the thing. He's also very clear on something else. He loves the lost. His heart beats for the lost. His mission for you and for I are to go out in the world and tell everybody and to love them as he has loved us. And if you look at those, sometimes it can create a tension, right? But I just want to throw out this morning that maybe they're two sides to the same coin. Maybe they're two sides to the same coin. What if our devotion to God is actually authenticated by our love for others? Think about that for a minute. What if our devotion to God, this whole idea of how we believe, what we think, and what aligns with what God wants, our devotion to him is actually authenticated in our love for our neighbors. That literally means proven. That means shown that our claim is proven genuine when we love others in Jesus' name. I mean, that's what it sounds like to me when I read John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, that you'll be devoted. You are devoted to me, and you're going to know how if you love one another, if you love others. And if that's true, and I think that it is, there's a couple of things we have to just take care of right off the bat. The first one is this commandment to love others has little to nothing to do with how you feel. Sorry. See, there's two types of people in the room. The second I start talking about love, there's some probably guys, and they're like, mushy, gushy stuff, it's all I need. Love, right? And then there's others of you that are like, oh my gosh, yes, love. Can we hold hands, please? You know what I mean? It's one or the other. But listen, here's the thing. It's a mistake to think you have to feel love to give love. Do you understand me? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are mistaken as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, that somehow I have to feel it before I do it, no wonder it never gets done. You understand that? It's the first thing we got to understand. The second thing is this. Love is kind of ambiguous, and it can be expressed in many, many different ways. So what exactly was Jesus talking about? Well, you know, if we want to understand what Jesus meant by what he said, one of the most helpful things we could do is just see what he did. Watch what he did. So what did Jesus do? How did he live? What was he up to? When we look at the scriptures, we see three things Jesus doing consistently. We see him talking to, eating with, and caring for others. Even when it wasn't the popular thing to do, even when people took issue with the someones that he was talking to or the way in which he was standing with somebody. Talking to, Jesus would consistently talk to people who came across his path, the woman at the well, the blind man, the beggar, the sick, the woman caught in adultery, the outcast, on and on. And you know what? People took offense. They took issue. They said, why are you talking with them? But the people that Jesus talked to, they were grateful. And their lives were forever, forever changed. Even if you just consider John 4 and this encounter he has with this woman at the well, the conversation literally starts with him saying, hey, can you get me a drink of water? And you know what her first response is? What are you even doing talking to me? You're not allowed to talk to me. That's literally what she says. She says, don't your rules say, your own religious practices say that you're not even allowed to talk to a Samaritan, let alone a Samaritan woman? How are we even having this conversation? And that conversation, as only Jesus can do, breaks into this powerful spiritual kind of, you know, expression good stuff, okay? You know, whatever, right? And it's really good. And then we can have this great conversation. And then just then, the disciples roll up. And the scripture is very clear to tell us that they were surprised. What's Jesus doing talking to this girl? Because your religious teachers didn't speak to women, at least not in public. Just another rule Jesus seems to break. But here's the thing. If Jesus would have followed those rules and those guidelines and those social expectations, then this woman would have never had this encounter with Jesus, and then she would never do what she did, which was go back to her village and tell her entire village, I'm pretty sure I just met Jesus, right? The Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. And a great many of her village became believers that day, all because Jesus chose to talk to her, right? Jesus was consistently eating with people along the path that he, wherever it found him. Yeah, not only this, people would invite him to their house sometimes. And sometimes, I don't know if you ever read the Gospels, sometimes Jesus invited himself to other places. I'm going to try that sometime and just see how that works. I'm actually going to try it today as I'm leaving. I'm going to go, hello, Smiths. I believe I'm supposed to eat at your house today. See how well that goes for me. You know what I mean? But he ate with people like tax collectors. The worst, right? The worst of the worst, the sinners. And you know what people did? People took issue with that. They didn't like that very much, but do you know who appreciated it? The people that Jesus ate with. They were grateful, and their lives were forever changed. Look at Matthew chapter 9. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy. Do you remember that word? Mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Right? There is that word again, mercy. The one who expresses compassion to somebody else, benevolence to another person. There it is again. Care for. Jesus consistently shows compassion for the people that come along his path, the sick, the grieving, the lost, the lepers, the unclean. And you know what? Read the Gospels. Many people took issue with that. They said, Jesus, you can't care for those types of people. But you know who appreciated it? The people that he cared for. They were grateful. They were grateful, and their lives were changed forever. Here's the thing. Are you picking up what I'm putting down yet? No? Okay, if you're not, that's okay. I'm going to tell you the point. You ready? Here we go. The point is simply this. What if loving your neighbor is as simple as talking to, eating with, and caring for those that God puts on your path? What if? What if? Because here's the thing. I'm convinced that we see Jesus doing these three things in the gospel, and I'm equally convinced that everybody in this room can do the same. Can do these things. I believe these are everyday, ordinary habits that we can do. And you know what I think they produce in our life, right? They produce in our life this. It moves us from merely going to church to actually being in the church. Hello. Actually, from going to church, great thing, not knocking that, love that, super glad you're here, always come, love you. But also being the church. Right? These are the habits that move us out, that help us be the church. So how can you do these types of things, these habits where you live, where you work, and your play? I'm going to go through them kind of quick and give you a couple of ideas. The first one, talking to, okay? Learn names, throw a party, Make the first move. Now, after I wrote this, I realized it sounds a lot like I'm encouraging you to date somebody, okay? That's not what I meant, okay? That's not what I'm saying, okay? But listen, learn names. This is magical, people. I remember several years ago when I said, you know, I want to take these steps. I want to live like this. I began to learn people's names, but mind blown. You know, do you have any idea how much people appreciate hearing the sound of their own name? And you know what else it does? It provokes them to get curious. Hey, what's your name? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, these relationships get built. You guys can do this. Listen, it doesn't matter how old you are, what your circumstances. Okay, let me see. 11 years ago, we moved here. Okay, 11 years ago, when we moved here from Kansas, my oldest son, Jaden, was in first grade. And he rolls up to this guy who he's never met, happened to be Nathaniel Simbora, still one of his good buddies today. They're in first grade, and he lays down this killer line. You know what he says? Hi, I'm Jaden. Jaden from Kansas, what's your name? There's no excuse. There's no excuse. They're still friends today. We can do this. Eating with somebody, when you eat consistently with someone, it expresses friendship. It expresses friendship. It's a solid hour for you to joke, talk, get to know each other. Several years ago, my wife and I decided we were going to host a Christmas brunch in our neighborhood. We were just going to open up our door, throw out some pancakes, and we have some wonderful people in our neighborhood that go to Rose Drive, and they were like, well, how about this? How about egg quiche, and how about bacon? And it just ended up being this great thing. Some people just came, eat, and left. Some people just brought something, but a lot of people hung out. And you know what consistently they would say? We should do this more often. We should do this more often. Caring for, oh my goodness, the possibilities are endless to find ways to be helpful to the people that come across your path. And if there is one way to express care, it's this. Ask questions, listen well. Ask questions, listen well. That's a great way to start taking this step. So what if it's possible that loving your neighbor is just as simple as talking to, eating with, and caring for the people that God puts in your path? Okay, here's the thing, right? A little audience participation. How many of you, okay, will talk, eat something, and care for somebody in the next 24 hours? Raise your hand right now. Okay, let's try it again, because apparently half of you don't. How many of you will probably talk, or eat, or care for somebody in the next 24 hours? Please raise your hand. Oh my gosh, you're so good at this. You're so good. What am I even up here for? You're already doing this. I'm just asking you to do this with some intention of being good news to those around you, because it makes a difference. Let me tell you about three people, okay? First person is Summer, okay? Summer is Craig and my barista. Okay, she baristas for other people, but she's really our friend, okay? And so Craig and I have this weekly meeting. It's our weekly tea time. Okay, not golf, tea time, T-E-A, tea. Because real men drink tea. I don't know if you knew that or not. Okay, I can't even sell that. I'm sorry, Craig. That's not okay. But anyways, we drink tea and we meet there for the last couple of years, and we've got to know Summer. And Summer went away for a little while, but she's back, and we were so happy to see each other this Thursday. She takes her break and she comes out and she fills us in. We've heard a lot about Summer's life. We've prayed for Summer, right? We've cried with Summer. She's our friend. Craig and Debbie are even considering maybe even taking a yoga class from Summer. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Summer. Summer's never been to RDF. Summer may never come to RDF. But you know what Summer would say if she were here? I know it because she said it to Craig and I lots of times throughout the years. We've been good news to her. We've been good news to her. She's told us that before. Let me tell you about my neighbor, Max. Okay, when I first moved in to our house 10 years ago, he was not super happy. I heard from another neighbor that a pastor and a Christian was moving in next door to him because his beliefs are a little different than ours, right? He wasn't sure how our relationship was going to be, so he kind of kept distant from me. And for about a year, I didn't even know his name. I That's it. That's all I had. That's all I got. You know what I mean? And then I started doing this, learning names and things like that. And I was like, I'm going to learn this guy's name. I'm going to learn his wife's name. And guess what? They got curious. They're, well, what's y'all's names? And then we started talking more and more. And then one day, this waft of smoke, because he's barbecuing, he's smoking in his backyard, it just wafts back into my living room, and I just said, enough is enough. And I march across my backyard, I poke my head over there, and I look him straight in the eye. I said, Max, would you teach me how to smoke? Make me your Padawan learner, man. I want to smoke like you smoke. And he just started laughing, and he was like, what? We've been friends ever since. Here's the thing. The thing about smoking meat, which sounds ridiculous to say in front of people, but it's true, okay? It takes a long time. You got to pay attention. You can't just leave it and walk off. Lots of time to talk. Lots of time to connect. Here's the thing. Max has never been here, but he's been on this campus. He's been to my son's ball games. Max has never been here, but we had Friendsgiving with him last Thanksgiving. Hey, Max has never been here, but you know what he said to me so many times, me and my wife over the last couple of years? We are so glad you moved in. We're so glad. Monday night basketball. I do my best to keep up with these young guys, and it's not pretty, y'all, okay? But over the years, I started saying, man, a lot of these guys don't go to church. A lot of these guys I kind of know, but I don't really know their names. I began to learn their names. And then before you know it, I began to say, hey, is there anything I can pray for you about? And then before you know it, we've had pizza a couple of times, and we've done this kind of stuff. And the other day, out of the blue, one of them's like, hey, man. Of course, you know, I was sweating from head to toe, and he like was like, looked like he just stepped out of a magazine. You know, like nothing, didn't do anything. But whatever, side the point. And he looks over at me, and he's like, hey, man, things are getting pretty serious with me and my lady. So, you know, if we get married, I'm going to hit you up. I didn't know what to say. I was honored, so I just said, I would be honored to do your wedding. He's like, wow, thank you. And he goes, of course. You're the only pastor friend I know. Did you catch it? Friend. See, I tell that story, and you know what I hate? I know that half of you probably say, no, Jason, pastor. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Isn't that what we pay you for? Listen to me. When you continue to talk to eat with, and care for people, you are going to get in that same situation. Someone's going to turn to you, and you're going to be in the thick of life, and they're going to say, oh, I have a friend. And they're a Christian. You're my friend. They're going to refer to you as that. Guys, what could happen? What if this whole loving your neighbor thing was as simple as that? Simple as talking to, eating with, and caring for the people that God happens to bring into your life. What might happen if we left here today and we began to see every moment of our life for the opportunity that it is to love Jesus, to love others well in Jesus' name? You know what I think would happen? I think we would begin to see little pockets all over North Orange County of people in neighborhoods, workplaces, ball fields, courts, etc. With all these people that have all these positive experiences and friendships with authentic Christ followers. That's you, by the way. You're the authentic Christ follower that I'm talking about. And you know what? They don't go to church, but you know what? There's this guy on their block, and they've really been good news to me and my family. Yeah, there's this lady, she works down the hall, and we talked one day at lunch, and you know what? She has been good news to me and my family. Are you smelling what I'm cooking here? Are you going this? Is anybody with me? Because I'm not even sure. Somebody. Okay, so you're with me. I just want to make sure. I wasn't sure. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what I want to say. I don't want to say, okay, it is simple, but it's not easy, right? It's not easy because even Jesus, when he began to do these things, when he was doing these things, when he was talking to, eating with, and caring for others, people scrutinized him. And I just want you to know, if you decide to live this way, if you step out and want to be good news to people, people will misunderstand your intentions sometimes. And some of them might be inside the church. You just got to be careful. And I just want to be honest with you about that. But here's the thing. What will keep you from doing this is your comfort zone. Because to step out in such a way to do these kinds of things, it sounds crazy, but it's way outside your comfort zone and you won't do it. But can I tell you something? I get that your comfort zone keeps you safe. I get it. It keeps me safe too. But it also keeps your world small. It also keeps my world small. That's the opposite of what God is calling us to do. Listen to me. I'm not asking you guys to go skydiving, okay? All right? No one's asking you to go skydiving. I'm just asking you to walk across the room. I'm not asking you to go bungee jumping. I'm asking you to walk across the street. You with me? You know what I mean? That's all I'm doing. Walk across the street. Get out of your comfort zone. You know, like I do every time I go to a wedding. Every time I go to a wedding, and my wife says, "You're going to dance with me, right?" And I say, "Three times, that's it." Yes. And I go out there, not because it's my favorite thing. I go out there because I know what it means to her. I go out there because I know the life that I miss when I'm not out there next to her. So I step out of my comfort zone every single time and I go out there. I go out there, even though I'm a little embarrassed, even though I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do next, even though I'm worried people are going to judge me for looking stupid. I know it's hard to believe because I'm such a good dancer, but it's true. I think about these things on the inside of my heart. Brings us back to the wedding. There I am. It's a wonderful night. Cindy sits next to me. She looks me right in the eye and she says, "How can you be a pastor?" No, how can you be a Christian and do these things? You see, how I was living my life that night, at least for her, it wasn't fitting into the definition of who she thought a Christian was and could be and should be. I was doing some things that were outside of bounds for that. I wasn't living up to what a devoted follower would do. But we also don't know is 45 minutes before this, we were all sitting at a table. And at this table, we were all crying together because we were mourning her son who had passed away 6 years ago when he was 10 years old. He was a boy who had a heart defect. He was Jaden's age. He looked exactly like Jaden. They could have been close cousins. And the first thing she saw him when she saw me, she said, "Can I see a picture of your kids?" And I know exactly which kid she wanted to see. And so I showed her a picture of Jaden at 16, and she passed it around the table, and she says, "This is what my son would look like today." And in those conversations, we began to talk about how she is wrestling with God for the last 6 years, her and her husband trying to put their life back together. So when she said that to me, I didn't see any malice. I didn't hear any malice in her voice. I didn't see any kind of like, "This is your problem. What's going on?" I just all of a sudden immediately just had compassion for her because I knew she was wrestling. I knew she was struggling. So I said this. I said, "Listen, Cindy, that's a fair question, and I don't know if I'm doing it right. But you know how in the scriptures Jesus is constantly being called out because he was like celebrating and hanging out with people that were far from God?" And she's like, "Well, yeah, sure." Well, he did it so often that they actually gave him a nickname. It was a derogatory nickname. They called him Friend of Sinners. Ooh, like they really just got him. Friend of Sinners. Friend of Sinners. And what seems to be clear in scriptures is that Jesus liked people who were nothing like him. And what blows my mind even more is that people who were nothing like Jesus seemed to like him back. And right, that's as far as I got because we look out onto the dance floor, right? And her husband is there, Matt. She puts her hands over her mouth and she goes, "Oh my God, what is he doing out there?" And we began to watch. We begin to watch as Matt begins to dance with the groom, who's his nephew. And the cousins, and they're all around, and they're being silly. And just so you know, I'm a way better dancer than Uncle Matt, but that's beside the point, okay? Okay, and they're dancing, having a good time, and the song ends, and they all just bear hug their Uncle Matt. And I said, "Listen," I said, "Cindy, do you see that?" I said, "Do you see the life? Do you see that life? Do you see the love? Do you see the celebration?" I said, "Cindy, listen, is that happening over here, or is it happening out there?" And with tears running down her face, she says, "Out there. Out there. All of it, Jason, all of it is happening out there." And my friends, listen, it is a privilege to be one of your pastors. But right now, I wish you would treat me as one of your friends. Right now, I wish you would treat me as a fellow person on the journey with you, this wild faith journey. Because I want to tell you, it's out there. I want to say to you as a friend, it's out there. What we do in here is meant to fill our lives and to fill the streets out there. Out there. So here's the thing. If you say, man, I'm ready. I want to, but where do I start? Well, we've developed a resource for you, and it's aptly named the Love Your Neighbor Starter Guide. Good place to start. Good place to start. And when you leave today, you can please get one from the ushers, one per family, please. And here's the thing, if you're just sitting here saying, Jason, there's no way I'm going to do anything with this, that's okay. Would you just get one anyways and consider reading it, because it's going to be important to our series, but listen, this is more important. It's going to be important to where we're going as a church. So you'll want to pick it up, you'll want to read it. I just ask, will you do one thing for me? Through this whole series, will you pray the one prayer with me? And what I mean by that is this: will you commit to praying one time a day for one person for 1 minute? One time a day for one person for 1 minute, that God would open up your eyes to the people that are already on your path, and that He would bring somebody to mind that you can talk to, or that you can eat with, or that you can care for. Would you do that with me? Hey, thanks for your time this morning, guys. Appreciate it.